This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want to call your attention today to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is what God's word says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old. Look here. From everlasting. I just want to remind us all that Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. From everlasting. He didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning, amen? I mean, before there was a was, he was. He always has been. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. And God, you've been incredibly good to us. I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. I pray today that you would meet the needs of your people. Because God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Have your will and way. And God, for all you do, we're going to praise you. For all you do, we're going to exalt you. God, may we give a word in season today. And we pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about old little town of Bethlehem. Old little town of Bethlehem. I love preachers. I always have loved preachers in a special way. There was a preacher in the 1800s. His name was Philip Brooks. And Philip Brooks did something on Christmas Eve night. On Christmas Eve night, Philip Brooks said, I rode a horse into Bethlehem. And he said, after spending time in Bethlehem, I rode the horse outside of Bethlehem. And he said, I started looking back at Bethlehem. And he said, God just did something in me as I was standing there looking at Bethlehem. He said, God just did something in me. He said, I couldn't get over Bethlehem. I just couldn't get past it. He said, it just stayed with me. And he said, 3 years later, I went to my church, the Church of the Holy Trinity. And he said, I wrote that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Because he said, I never got over Bethlehem. Bethlehem's a special place. Bethlehem is the place where Ruth met Boaz. Bethlehem is the place 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. It's where King David was born. The greatest king of Israel was born in Bethlehem. Now, here's what's amazing to me. I would have thought that Jesus, the Savior of the world, should have been born in Athens or perhaps in Rome. Or perhaps in Caesarea, but not any of those distinguished places. God in his sovereignty chose for him to be born in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. I believe because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a deep meaning in Bethlehem. And we've just got to look for it. I remember one day I was talking to our preschool. And I was telling her boys and girls that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And I said to them, does anybody know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? And I'll never forget it. One of the students raised their hand. Said, I do, Preacher Benny. I said, tell us why. And that student said, because that's where his mother was. Well, that makes sense. That's where his mother was. But I believe there's a deeper meaning. Folks, I believe Bethlehem reminds us of four things. The first thing that Bethlehem reminds us of is this: God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. We don't live our lives as believers based on explanations. People don't always have an explanation. We live our lives based on the promises of God. I say to you, don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you see. Believe what God says. Because we live our lives based on the promises of God. Now I want you to know something. 750 years before Christ was born, 750 years, there was a minor prophet. His name was Micah. 750 years, who said he'll be born in Bethlehem. And ladies and gentlemen, guess what? 750 years later, he was. And Bethlehem reminds us that God keeps his promises. Bethlehem reminds us that 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. I'm grateful Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that hath promised. And let me tell you a wonderful promise. It's in Luke chapter 2. It says, for unto you is born this day, where? In the city of David. Where? Who was born in the city of David? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, a Savior for every one of us. See, understand something. If our greatest need had been success, God would have sent us a life coach. If our greatest need had been health, God would have sent us a nutritionist. If our greatest need had been knowledge, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, no doubt he would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But congregation, our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent us a Savior. He sent us a Savior. He sent us a Savior. And this Savior came for all people. I read a story this week that I never read. It was a story about a man by the name of George Palmer. George Palmer said, when I was 7 years old, God took my daddy. And he said, I hated God. And I told God on a regular basis, God, I hate you. God, I hate you. God, I hate you. There's a lot of people that need to forgive God. Not that he needs forgiveness, but they need to forgive God. And he said, I let God know I hated him. He took my daddy. He said, I joined a gang. He said, I did everything the gang members told me to do. And George said, before long, I was the leader of the gang. He said, we'd go out and we'd have riots with other gangs. He said, many times we'd overtake a gang leader. And he said, something I enjoyed doing was one of our members would hold that gang leader down on concrete and we'd take an automobile and drive over their hands. Hear the bones in their hands pop as we drove the automobile over the hands. He said, I hated people. I hated God. And he said, if there was somebody I hated preachers. And he said, at the tip of the spear was a man named Billy Graham. I hated that man. Because that man said, God is good. He said, that man said, God is love. And he said, I heard that Billy Graham was coming to our town to do a crusade. And I said to my gang members, let's kill him while he's here. And he said, there was 10 of us got together. And we all took our weapons. And we said, let's let him have the crusade. When he gets to the invitation, he'll be all alone standing on the stage. 10 guns. He said, we went in, I could see we were strategic locations because we wanted to make sure we could take him out. But he said, Billy Graham preached. And he told us that God loves us. And he told us that God forgives sin. And he told us that God would forgive our sin. True story, George Palmer said, I came to the end of the message and I started looking for my gang members. And lo and behold, 8 of them were down front. He said, 8 of them were down front, giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And he said, something said to me, or somebody said to me, what about you, George? What about you, George? And he said, I made my way down. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I served in the Salvation Army the rest of my days. I served in the Salvation Army the rest of my days. Let me tell you something. I give you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Bethlehem reminds us that God keeps his promises. Let me tell you something else. Bethlehem reminds us that God sees potential. God sees potential. Look what the Bible says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Bethlehem, just a spot in the road. But you ever think about this? God said to the prophet Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. I'm going to anoint the next king. Preacher, where did it take place? Bethlehem. And he goes down to Jesse's house. Wait. And Jesse brings those 7 big boys out there. They're big. They're muscular. They're robust. About like Ohio State football players. I mean, they're... And Samuel says, no, no, not any of these. And get this, folks. Sometimes you have nobody to believe in you but God. The daddy didn't believe because Samuel looked at Jesse and said, do you have any more children? He said, there is a runt out back. He keeps the sheep. He keeps the sheep. He said, bring him. Samuel said, that's him. When others saw a runt sheep keeper, God saw a king. God saw a king. God saw a king. Look here. You know what Bethlehem reminds us? It reminds us that God sees potential. About a year and a half ago, I took a group to Israel. And we went to Bethlehem that's under Palestinian control right now. And when you go to Bethlehem, if you go to the place where Jesus was born, you go to the Church of the Nativity. They've actually built a church over the site where Jesus was born. And so the church is over the site, and there's a cave underneath the church where he was born. But you have to go down these stairs to get to the cave. And you come to this door, folks, and it's 3 foot 9 inches. And here's what hit my mind. You've got to get low. if you're going to go to Bethlehem. You've got to get little if you're going to go to Bethlehem. Ronald Reagan said, I got my very first Bible. My mother gave it to me. And Ronald Reagan said, she wrote in the leaf of my Bible, Ronald, you can never be too small for God to use you, but you can be too big. You remember what Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and 17? When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. See, folks, we got to get little if we're going to go to Bethlehem. But Bethlehem says that God sees potential in all people. And God sees potential in you. Little boy came in from school. He didn't do well in school. I didn't do well in school. I was a part of the bottom half that made the top half possible. But my sister was so encouraging, I would bring my report card home and it wasn't good. And she would say to my mother, don't be hard on him. At least we know he's not cheating. He didn't do well in school. And he brought a note home. And he handed the note to his mother, and his mother started crying. And he said, Mother, what does the note say? She said, it says, your child's a genius. This school is too small. And it doesn't have the type of teachers to school him. He said, my mother started schooling me. And I became a grown man. And I opened up a drawer one day, and there was the note. And what the note actually said was, your son is mentally ill. He can't learn. Keep him home. But Thomas Edison's mama didn't believe that. What Bethlehem says God sees potential. God sees potential in all of us. Let me tell you the third thing Bethlehem does. Bethlehem reminds us of God's great purchase. Bethlehem reminds us of God's great purchase. Now get this. But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, why does it say Bethlehem Ephrathah? Because you got to understand, if you go to Israel, there are two Bethlehems. There's a Bethlehem in the south, Bethlehem Judah. But there's a Bethlehem in the north. It's Bethlehem Ephrathah. He was born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. And there's a reason for that. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Ephrathah means fruit of the vine. It's the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The body and blood of Jesus Christ. See, at Christmas, we put our gifts under the tree. But God put his gift on the tree. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. Romans 8 and 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Bethlehem reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, of God's great purchase. Look, I love Christmas. I love everything about it. Listen, I love it. But if you study the Bible through and through, not one time does God tell us to remember his birth. But ladies and gentlemen, over and over he tells us to remember his death. Over and over he tells us to remember. That's why on Christmas Eve we have candlelight communion, because I want people to understand the Bible doesn't tell us to remember his birth, but it does tell us to remember his death. Amen? Look here. Bethlehem reminds us God keeps his promises. Bethlehem reminds us that God sees potential. Bethlehem reminds us of God's great purchase. But one other. Bethlehem reminds us of God's great power. I want to remind you today of God's great power. See, Isaiah 9:6 says this. For unto us a child is born. That shows us his humanity. And to us a son is given. That shows us his divinity. And I want to remind you something. Right here in this political season, right in the middle of this political season, we all have political persuasions. But the Bible says this. It says the government shall be upon his shoulders. I don't care what your political persuasion is. I don't care who he is or who she is. No person can put the government upon their shoulders. No individual can. No party can. But see, Jesus can. Jesus can. You say, Preacher Benny, how can he put the three branches of government upon his shoulders? Well, see, he can put the legislative branch upon his shoulders because he is the lawgiver. He can put the judicial branch upon his shoulders because he is the final judge. He can put the executive branch upon his shoulders because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look here. And his name shall be called Wonderful, to take care of the dullness of our life. See, folks, this Christmas we can have all the lights and yet be in the dark. And we can look to success, we can look to sex, we can look to sports. We can look to everything. We can look to a back rub, a hot tub, a drink at the pub. But all of that will leave us life dull. It will leave life empty. The only thing that will bring light and brightness to your life is Jesus, the Lamb of Glory. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And his name shall be called Counselor, to take care of the decisions of life. Because there's going to be times you won't know what to do. And you won't know which decision to make. But his name shall be called Counselor, to take care of the decisions of life. And his name shall be called Mighty God, to take care of the demands of life, especially during this season, which is so demanding. We're pulled in so many ways. But his name shall be called Mighty God, to take care of the demands of this life. And his name shall be called Everlasting Father, to take care of the dimensions of life. Look, I'm for you loving your husband. I'm for you loving your wife. I'm for you loving your children. I'm for children loving their parents. But look, they can only go so far with you. But he's the one that can go all the way. He's the one that can take care of the dimensions of life. See, his name should be called Wonderful. Take care of the dullness of life. Counselor, the decisions. Mighty God, the demands. Everlasting Father, the dimensions. But his name should be called the Prince of Peace. To take care of the disturbances of life. Because he can give peace in the midst of chaos. He can give peace in the midst of chaos. Because there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. Those wise men realized it. And they brought that gold. They brought that gold because gold was only fit for a king. And ladies and gentlemen, we need somebody to rule us. And then they brought frankincense. Frankincense was used by the high priest in worship because we need somebody to represent us. And then they brought myrrh. Myrrh was used to prepare bodies for death. Because we need somebody to redeem us. We needed somebody to redeem us. Now, during the millennial reign, according to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, we'll come and we'll bring gold because he's our king. Wait. We'll bring frankincense because he and he only is worthy of worship. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no mention of myrrh anymore because he's not come to die. He's come to rule and reign. He's not come to die. He's come to rule and reign. See, the first time he came, it was a silent night. But the next time, he's going to come with a shout. The first time he came to a manger. But the next time, he's going to come as master. The first time he came in humility. But the next time he'll come in honor. The first time he came to a cross. But the next time he'll come to a coronation. The first time he stood before Pilate, but the next time Pilate will stand before him. The first time he came as a slain lamb, but the next time he's coming as a sovereign Lord. Because hear me, folks, Jesus alone is the master of the mighty. He's the captain of conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislators. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings and the lord of lords. And there's none like him. Pastor, I'm done, I promise. Has God given you a scripture this Christmas? He really has. He really has. He's given me Isaiah 7 and 14. This says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He gave me that scripture. God is with us. No matter what we go through, God is with us. No matter the battle, no matter the struggle, no matter what we're facing, God is with us. Makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Okay. We need a Savior. Not because we may die tonight, but we need a Savior because we may live tomorrow. We need a Savior, not because we may die tonight, but because we may live tomorrow. And He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So I'm done. But I just want to remind you that God keeps His promises. I just want to remind you that God sees potential in you. I just want to remind you that Bethlehem reminds us of the great purchase that God did for us. Bethlehem reminds us of God's great power, because He's Emmanuel. He's with us. He's with us. And if God be for us, folks, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.